It's hard to believe we're already halfway through the college football season, but we are now to week 7. Some interesting matchups. Actually, an interesting matchup took place last night between Rutgers and Louisville. We have Kelly Kitchens with us on this Friday to break it down. Kelly, are you going to be in Gainesville? Not in Gainesville, in Baton Rouge this week for the Florida LSU game?
I am not going down there. We were planning to go, but rescheduled.
Okay.
I have some prior engagements.
I hear you. Well,
I the girl.
Well, priorities, my man. Priorities.
I trade out weekends and she gets weekends, apparently.
Well, as you probably know, listening to the program, Florida and LSU are the big games this weekend, and Kelly has been on many times before to talk about the Gators, as he follows that program very closely. And let's start there, Kelly. This is number 17, Florida, at number 10, LSU. Florida's only loss coming at Miami. LSU losing in Athens a couple of weeks ago. This is 2:30 and CBS. Just break this one down for us. And most people think LSU's going to just walk right in and walk out with a victory. What are the keys for the Gators in this game?
I think one of the big things you look at this team, obviously, you've got three defensive backs that are going to play on Sundays. You got two wide receivers and a quarterback for LSU that will play on Sundays. But you look at third down, there's a couple things that I think this game could swing on. Third down, Florida is about 23% they give up a third down conversion. LSU, on the other hand, converting, an outstanding 58%.
Wow.
So something's going to have to give there. If LSU can get the running game going, which they couldn't in Athens, then it could be a long day for Florida. Fowler and Powell, and this is where we might see the easily injury come back to bite Florida. If they can't get pressure and get Mettenberger out of that pocket and he has time, I don't care how good your defensive backs are, it might be a long afternoon. Now, Florida gets pressure and maybe what they've done all year, LSU could be in trouble. So it'll be interesting to see. Another thing to keep an eye on, probably, this game's, if you've looked at it the last few years, it's nip and tuck the whole way. It's the special teams. We saw down there a couple of years ago, Brad Wing fakes the punt, goes for the touchdown. Florida this year, their biggest weapon, one of their biggest ones was Christie last year, punting. He hasn't been on his mark this year, and they're replacing a kicker that was automatic last year, and they're splitting the duties at that. So that's kind of a hit or miss. So, it could be an interesting game down there, to say the least. Florida's going to have to play ball control offense like they've done, and if Tyler Murphy gets rattled, it could be a long afternoon.
Yeah, LSU has put up some brilliant numbers this year, and I'm impressed with what they've been able to do so far. But we're talking about a Florida defense here that has played some pretty interesting offenses, and they are number two in the country in total defense, number four in scoring defense, and tops in the SEC in both categories. So, when you're tops in the SEC and defense in any category, that's very good. And I think Zach Mettenberger has not faced a challenge that will be as great as this weekend. So what's your prediction on the game?
And it's going to be fun to watch, speaking of Mettenberger, this could be, if he wins this game, this could be his coming out party.
Yeah,
Florida's past defense is only given up, and I hate to say coming out party, but this could assert him in the Heisman race a little bit harder than he already is. Florida's defense, pass defense, has given up three touchdowns all season. So it's going to be fun. I like Florida. I'll take Florida in the upset. I think that they can probably get it done. And I think this team, I think they will come out from underneath the radar. I think people will find out Tyler Murphy is a pretty cool customer this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I actually think Florida will win on the road in Baton Rouge, as crazy as that might sound. I just think LSU's defense has been awful. They have been absolutely awful. Mid-conference as far as defensive ranks, which is far, far down from where they are usually. And I think you're right. I think Tyler Murphy. I want to piggyback on something you said there, though, that I found interesting. Zach Mettenberger, we've heard all about Aaron Murray. A.J. McCarron has been mentioned for the Heisman as far as SEC quarterbacks. But Zach Mettenberger has gotten zero love nationally. And you think that with a win, with a good performance this weekend, it could potentially put him in that race. I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, why not? Now, another interesting thing is, I don't know the extent of it, and Les Miles has been real coy this week, but Jarvis Landry was seen leaving LSU's practice in a boot and on crutches on Monday. So, that if he's not a full go, that takes a huge weapon out, because you've got those two and the rest of the receiving core there. It's pretty much those two guys. They get the majority of the mail, if you will.
Odell Beckham.
It's, Yeah, Odell Beckham, and he's not doing interviews this week. I think everybody remembers the play last year where he was, the big play down the sideline where he was stripped from behind. And, you know, he's obviously, they're pretty geared up because LSU, this is a, Florida can lose this game, still beat Georgia, still beat South Carolina, and get to Atlanta. LSU loses, and Alabama's got to lose too.
No question. The pressure is on the Tigers, and not only that, Texas A&M is also breathing down their neck. They have them late in the season as well. Good point. LSU is in a must-win situation. Florida, not necessarily. Well, Kelly now hails from Atlanta, which is the center, ground zero, so to speak, for Georgia mania, and it has been mania as Georgia has played four top-ranked teams, and they get Missouri, number 25, tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock on ESPN. I think this is an extremely dangerous game for Georgia.
I do, too, and you look, I mean, you can talk about injuries, and this may have been one of the best offenses, and Todd Gurley is certainly, in my opinion, the best running back in the country,
sure.
But you don't have Gurley, you don't have Marshall, you're depending on a freshman at running back, you're three of your top four wide receivers, the only thing you've got left is Chris Conley and Aaron Murray. So, and you look at a Georgia defense that is just surrendering all kinds of yards, and they've had some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. I think it's going to be another shootout, and I don't like the fact for Georgia that it's an 11 o'clock game, to be quite frankly. You look at the attrition that's set in with Georgia, and then you look at how many times can this team get up mentally. I mean, that's another thing that people aren't taking. Tennessee wasn't supposed to be that take-you-to-the-wire grind out game that you pull out in the end. How much juice do you have left in the tank, and when are those injuries going to come to play? Because quite frankly, you know, Missouri's got a senior quarterback. They're going to come in there and throw the ball all over the place. So Aaron Murray's going to have to match him. And can those guys get enough reps, and can they stay in the game physically and mentally?
Yeah, and don't forget, I think a lot of people forget this by now, but in the Clemson game, the opener of the year, they lost perhaps, I think, could have been their best receiver of the year in Malcolm Mitchell.
It was, absolutely.
And so that's a big blow. And Georgia,
they'll get Bennett back later in the season, mm-hmm. and obviously it looks like Todd Gurley is a high ankle sprain. So, yeah, if you ever had high ankle sprain, that's probably the worst you could have.
Right.
My guess is they've got Vanderbilt next week. I wouldn't be shocked to see him next week, but I would expect to see him against Florida.
I would agree
I think you can't. But I can tell you this: if Mari goes down or they get pressure on him, you know, this is a guy that's worked with these receivers all season. And another interesting thing is, even with Malcolm Mitchell going out, you had Justin Scott Wesley that could stretch the field. Now you're going to have, and you saw Tennessee do this at the end of the game, you're going to have the defensive backs come up and hit them at the line, and you don't have anyone, if you just stack the box and stop the run, you don't have anyone yet that can stretch that field. Chris Conley might be that guy, but until now, I don't know.
That's a good point, and Georgia has lost some members of the defensive side too, but I don't know that it's mattered. Georgia has been awful defensively all year long, and you look at the numbers Missouri has put up so far this year, and I know
and
they have played.
Huddle.
They do. They've played inferior competition. They played Indiana, Toledo, and a couple of high school teams. I realize that, but Vanderbilt. This Missouri team can score. This is an offense that we thought last year would present problems for the SEC. Well, it ended up being delayed for a year. I think this is the year Missouri really asserts itself, and I think it starts with a victory over Georgia tomorrow morning in Athens. And I think you make a great point about the early kickoff. I'd love to see a study on this. I think this tends to favor the road team a very large percentage of the time. Yeah.
And Georgia has a fabulous home record at home, but you know, Missouri's got an interesting thing too, because they've got a Florida team who's going to LSU who comes to Missouri next week. They're catching Georgia at the best possible time you could catch Georgia. So we could be talking in 2 weeks that Missouri's in the lead in the SEC East.
And undefeated and in the BCS title race.
The
apocalypse is upon us.
They still got to play South Carolina. They still got some tough games left. I don't think they'll make it to Atlanta. But this isn't, if they're going to make that next step, these are the 2 weeks we're going to find out if they are.
SEC fans, you can order your tickets for Alabama-Missouri now by going to the website, bunsports.com. No,
I did that. Hey, I'm not going that far with it. Now, Missouri still has a pretty bad defense.
Yes, so they do.
You look at even that Florida defense last year, Missouri came down there, and they moved the ball down the field. They could never get it in the end zone, but they had some success. And now with Franklin being healthy, and it's another thing, when you're playing with confidence, even though they've got those cupcakes, Missouri's offense is coming in there to win tomorrow. It's not like they've already been beaten down by four or five teams. You know, they think they can win, and they're coming in to win.
In Georgia, I think last year the deal was grown man football, and I get that. But the problem is they're so hobbled and injured this year, it might be the old man football card that actually wins, gives Missouri the chance to win. Who knows?
Right.
Can Texas A&M, can they get a win here over Ole Miss, or does Ole Miss stop the bleeding? And they need a tourniquet right now, because after beatdowns from Alabama and Auburn, they are in a world of hurt.
It's funny, A&M's gotten 2 weeks to get ready for this game, and if you remember last year, they had to pull Manziel literally pull the rabbit out of his hat to get that win in Oxford. I think they were down by 10.
Did he sign the rabbit?
Quarter of that game. Yeah. Yeah. We won't ask him what he signed it for, but he signed it.
They didn't prove it. He didn't take anything.
I think they can move the ball on A&M. I don't know. I think eventually Manziel will turn it up a notch. I think they'll probably win by 10, 15. Yeah. You know, the A&M defense is bad, but Manziel's a lot better from what I've seen. I don't know if Ole Miss, you know, they were pretty bad out of some spots and didn't have very good, very good discipline on defense against Auburn's spread offense. And I wonder what Texas A&M will do to it. Because quite frankly, in my opinion, I think Texas probably has a better running game than Auburn.
No, I agree with you. I think Texas A&M has done very well so far. But their defense, they did lose the player this week, and I understand that he was one of their leading tacklers, so that obviously is a concern. But I think
they tackle over there.
Well,
I don't think I saw him.
Well, and that's another point. Leading tackler at Texas A&M. That's not saying much. But I think Texas A&M. I think they will get this win in Oxford. I think they'll do it very handily. I'm looking for a coming out victory for Johnny Football and Company. Well, let's.
Has Bo Wallace made any comments?
Well,
by the way?
And that's the thing. Bo Wallace, he said some things, and he came over to the state of Alabama, and now he's not saying anymore.
What's interesting is if you're Texas A&M, do you put up the comments where he said we've got better receivers than A&M?
Mm.
You know, when he made the comments about Alabama, he threw Texas A&M in there.
Well, you know, I think when Mike Evans catches his 17th pass, and just by standing there and reaching over the entire Ole Miss secondary, Bo Wallace might want to rethink those comments. Mac Brown is in a tough spot this weekend, and that's putting it mildly. He's got Oklahoma in Dallas in the big rivalry game, if you can call it that. It used to be in Dallas. Something tells me, though, Kelly, this could be a closer game than a lot of people think, just because that's what happens in football.
Well, no, and you know, it's funny you said that, because I was going to tell you the exact same thing. And Jacob, you know, you got 2 weeks to prepare, and frankly, I don't know that Texas can stop Oklahoma, but Oklahoma's lost some players on defense.
Mm.
So, can Texas score? Can McCoy come out and God, you know, Ash not playing? I don't know if that's a plus or a minus, but it'll be interesting to see. I have a feeling I'm with you. I think Texas. I think Oklahoma probably pulls away late, but I think that it's going to be it might be a little closer than the experts think on that as well.
I don't know that the Belldozer will have enough gas to get out of Dallas. We'll have to see. All right, time for the lame jokes to cease, and we'll move on to number two. Oregon is traveling to Washington, and what is the game of the week this week for sure? And this is, I think, Kelly, our best chance to see Oregon, or at least best chance so far to see Oregon in a highly competitive environment. Washington, last week, they came very close to beating Stanford, and they are very good and much improved this year under Steve Sarkisian. And I don't know if they'll be faking injuries or not. I'm not sure about that. I do know that Washington and Oregon despise each other And so this is going to be quite an entertaining game to watch. Wouldn't be surprised to see Washington win, but I'm taking Oregon.
So the bigger question is, will Mariota play in the fourth quarter? You know, this is the guy that I probably last year, I honestly think if you watch, and a lot of people don't get a chance to see him play, but if you watch him, Johnny Manziel makes some fabulous plays, but he does a lot of stuff that's not going to work on the next level. A lot of those scrambling and throw it up into triple coverage. Mariota's done 14 touchdowns. He hasn't even played in a fourth quarter yet this season. So I like Oregon. I think you're looking, and Bishop Sankey's awesome, and, yes, and Keith Price is good. And I think this game's going to be closer than maybe most Oregon games. But I think it'll be interesting. In the end, I think Oregon will get their 10th straight win. I don't know. Big thing's going to be, is DeAnthony Thomas going to play?
Yeah. So you think?
You know, that's a big cog, but they haven't missed a beat so far. Granted, it was against Colorado, but.
So you think Oregon will win by 6 touchdowns instead of 12?
Right. I mean, that's the Oregon. I'm actually going to go out there next month and see them play, and I'm interested to see them play. But I think Oregon's going to get it done. But you know, Washington's got a good team, and I actually liked Washington last week over Stanford. They couldn't get it done, but they've made vast improvements under Sarkisian.
The only defense in the – and that's a great point. And Oregon and Washington does not boast that great of a defense. The only defense in the Pac-12 North that could potentially stop Oregon is easily Stanford. And that game, of course, November 7th, and we're all looking forward to that. But I agree with you completely. I think Oregon will win the game. It might be fun to watch for a half or so. But I think we'll be turning it back to Florida and LSU in short order when Oregon –
I'll have them both on side by side.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's always great to catch up and talk football, and we're looking forward to another big weekend of SEC and college football. Kelly, great stuff.
Jacob, thank you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Kelly Kitchens on the program this afternoon. It is Friday, and so we will leave you for the weekend. Hope your team does well, and college football. You have a great weekend of college football. Stay safe. We'll talk to you Monday.